This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
21, Stevenson, bouncing outside. Ramondre Stevenson with a block by Williams to the end zone. The Patriots take the lead. Touchdown, New England.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It is a Patriots Monday. Pats of the 28-24 come from behind victory over the Baltimore Ravens. Drake May checking a few boxes. First 300-yard game of his career. Career-high 380 yards. He also gets a come-from-behind victory, not just a late-game drive like he led against the Bills earlier this year, but a game where they're down double digits in the fourth quarter, which a lot of us have been wanting to see out of Drake May when they've been behind against the Raiders, when they were behind against Pittsburgh, when they were behind last time out against the Buffalo Bills. He hadn't been able to do it. He does it here. Patriots now with certainly the division well within their sights. Number one seed still very much within their sights. They need some help. Out of the Denver Broncos with a loss over the final 2 weeks. But if the Patriots win out against the Jets and Dolphins, they should be able to get a bye week to get healthier, which they need, given some of the injuries that they've had. A lot wound up going right for the Patriots last night, Mego, and it really changed on a dime in that fourth quarter because it could have gone a completely different way for them.
And they noted on the broadcast, it was the first time they had been down by 11 points or more in the fourth quarter and staged a comeback since 28-3, which just tells you like how far we are from that. And even though there are some caveats to Baltimore kind of giving it up to you in terms of Lamar Jackson going out right before the half, Derrick Henry sitting the last 7 minutes and change when he was really what was working against the Patriots defense, it still matters a lot that they had that fourth quarter. It matters a lot for the trends that they've been showing for most of the season. Go back to even the Saints game when they only put up 3 points in the second half. They needed that. They really needed it looking ahead to the playoffs because the next two teams are cupcakes. Like, there's no way around it. Those two teams are just, they have nothing to play for besides seeding.
No, they're bad teams with to play for.
Seeding in the draft
standings. No, they're bad teams with nothing to play for, and they don't have NFL quarterbacks. Brady Cook and Quinn Ewers might not be NFL quarterbacks.
If they had lost that game to the Ravens and then ripped off huge wins over these next two teams, we'd still be sitting here going, well, you couldn't beat Snoop Huntley.
Well, this is my feeling on it. And look, the last time the Patriots won in 2018, they won two late season games that I didn't think mattered. They lost a game in Pittsburgh where Josh Gordon walked off the field. And I'm like, they're done. They're not going to win anything this year. I don't care what they do the last couple of weeks. And they figured some things out against inferior opponents, and they went on a run for their sixth Super Bowl. So I guess I'm not saying it can't be done. But in terms of my belief in them, I agree with what you just said. they needed to win this game. And Baltimore was without their two-time MVP for the entire second half of that game.
Well, they've been without that version of that guy for most of the season.
Great point. They haven't had that version of Lamar all year, but still, they avoided Lamar Jackson. On top of that, the Ravens already aren't very good. They're 7-8 this year. I thought they'd win the Super Bowl in the offseason. I thought they were that kind of team that would make up for how they choked last year in the postseason, and that wasn't the case. So they're not as good as I thought. You didn't have to face Lamar Jackson. And yet, I think it's an important win, at least for my belief, in this team going on a run. If you couldn't beat Snoop Huntley and the 7-8 Baltimore Ravens going into the postseason, and you couldn't answer the bell after blowing a giant lead the week prior against Buffalo, I wouldn't feel good about any of the teams we just went through. Jacksonville, the Chargers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, never mind teams like Denver or Houston or, you know, teams I really want to avoid, the Buffalo Bills in the postseason. I wouldn't feel good about anybody if they dropped those games back to back. And so it wasn't a full strength Ravens. The Ravens at full strength haven't been what they've been in years past, but they needed that win last night, I think, for external belief, and I bet for their own belief as well.
It wasn't a full-strength you either, to be clear.
True.
I mean, you were dropping tackles like nobody's business in the first half. It's like, who are you even going to bring out there at this point? Are you going to throw Tonga out there? Like, I did. It got to a point where if Morgan Moses hadn't come back out of the locker room, I didn't know what they were going to do. Like, they were in a tough position.
Yeah, I saw it was like, so they already had that Mumford and Sons,
Mumford
right?
Mumford and Sons, which I was corrected when I tweeted out, hey, it's Mumford. And my husband, who is also a football writer, was like, you know his name is Munford, right? You're an idiot. And I was like, I've been looking at his nameplate in the locker room, just listening to Mumford and Sons in my head. And felt a little bad.
Well, it still works. All the jokes worked. I thought it was good. But so when he went down, Morgan Moses got hurt, he replaced him. And you're already without Will Campbell on the other side. It's Vidarian Lowe. It was what? Like Caden Wallace and who else was in the mix there? Because Marcus Bryant was a scratch last night.
Right.
So, yeah, they would have been real thin. The Patriots were dinged up. But I didn't play up the injury thing all that much last night because the Ravens were down Lamar. And they lost a starting offensive lineman as well last night. And just, I think the Ravens got the worst end of that.
I think you can play this game all you want. You can say Derrick Henry has been the most consistent and explosive player for biggest weapon for them the entire year, and you were down Milton Williams again, so that's your run stopper. So in that way, it's like an evening out of Lamar being out for the second half. But what it came down to was the Patriots were able to execute in the fourth quarter that we really haven't seen them in a way do the entire season, and predominantly Drake May. Like, Drake is so far and away the most important part of what this team has done this season, and he just hasn't had a fourth quarter like that.
No.
And what makes it more impressive is that he was bad for a lot of the game going into it. Yes, he had beautiful plays and he always has great moments, but he was hurting the team. Like, he took 6 points off the board of what would have been field goals with turnovers. So then for him to go do a 180 and have that fourth quarter, I think is very impressive for him, should stoke the team's confidence even further in him, especially coming off a Buffalo game where he wasn't great either.
So you highlight the turnovers, because I agree, him bouncing back is a big part of that storyline last night. He threw the interception to Humphrey on the opening drive. They had gone 10 plays, was a 3rd and 14. Booty didn't exactly fight for that pick, but still not a good decision there by Drake May. That wiped 3 points off the board. The other was the fumble late. That was on late in the first half, rather. That was on a 3rd and 2. They were already at the Baltimore 32. That's a longer field goal. But still, the way Borgalis has been kicking, that's probably another 3 points that came off the board. That was with 20 seconds or so left in the half after they had already converted a couple of times, moving their way down the field. So I agree with you. It wasn't just Drake May was locked in all night. He had to overcome some of that. And then he did. He was 12 out of 14 in the fourth quarter, 139 yards, a touchdown, and he led another touchdown drive. He also rushed for 14 yards, which includes running out the clock on that final drive. His two incompletions, one was a throwaway, the other was the pass interference that wasn't called last night. So, and that could have been caught by Booty. It certainly should have been a flag on that play. And those were his only incompletions in the fourth quarter. Other than that, he's totally locked in. And I give him and the team a lot of credit for overcoming that non-pass interference call. A bad team, the Patriots from a year ago, you know, you see this with a lot of teams. I think the Lions, to a degree, yesterday were letting the refs beat them. Bad teams let the refs beat them. The Patriots didn't let that happen last night. They had a call go against them. They brushed themselves off. They got back up, and they let a touchdown drive force the turnover and close the game out. That's the hallmark of a good team, and I thought that, even knowing everything that was going on with the Ravens, sub-500, no Lamar, even with all of that, the Patriots overcoming it, I think, was pretty telling about where this team can go this year.
And especially the way that they do it game to game. Like, they continue to show different ways that they can win. And in one sense, I know people don't love the comparisons between Brady and May, or maybe you do love them. In one way, May is the exact opposite of Brady, in that the trust tree has like 1,000 limbs. Remember with Brady, if you dropped a ball or you weren't running your routes correctly, you were out of the trust tree.
Yep.
He wouldn't even look at you. Like, don't even put him on the field with you. But with Kyle Williams, that's somebody who May doesn't look to a lot. He doesn't get a ton of snaps. And then in a gotta-have-it moment, when it's been Steph Diggs all game long, it's been Hunter Henry in the mix, it's been Matt Collins in the mix, out of nowhere, Kyle Williams, the rookie, who's had the most up-and-down season and up-and-down training camp before that, he gets the go ball and has a fabulous touchdown. And that really, like, turns the tide in the fourth quarter. I think all those little factors makes this team a little bit better maybe than, like, this sounds so cliche, but like the collective factors of it are better than the individual talent that they will
go
and give you all these different looks.
For sure. I think it's a good point about Kyle Williams. Like, Brady, you know, when Brady got to a certain point in the offense, and Brady's the greatest of all time, it goes without saying.
If you're not going out to Montana, you're probably not getting the look on
but
the field.
But yeah, the season that Kyle Williams has had, Brady's not going to Kyle Williams in a big spot late in the year. He's already in the doghouse. He might not be on the field. Brady wouldn't glance at him on a play like that. And because Drake May is in his second year and he's not as established and he's not as – it's his first year in the McDaniels offense as opposed to 2 decades in the same offense for Brady. That's a good point. I mean, he wasn't afraid and has not been afraid to go back to Kyle Williams. Patriots pull off the comeback victory. This is Mike Vrabel on the win after the game last night.
Getting into the playoffs the way that you did – what does that say about your team?
Well, I mean, I think that it was good to be in a game like this where we battled and it was tied and we got down and, you know, momentum kind of shifted the other way and our guys battled back. We got stops. Offense continued to attack and our quarterback, you know, battled and our receivers came through and our runners and man, it was a great, I felt like it was a big team win. It was a huge team win. Our, you know, Andy kicked the ball well, you know. So, again, it was just, you know, we lost a lot of guys. A lot of guys went down. A lot of guys stepped up, and we're going to have to get healthy. But I think that this was a great win for us.
It was. And, again, knowing all the caveats about the Ravens, forgetting about Derrick Henry and everything else, I do think that was a big-time win, given the position they put themselves in. I mean, you're down 11 in the fourth quarter to come back and win that game. Even with everything else going on, I would agree with Vrabel on that. I think it was a big-time highly necessary win that keeps him in the mix for the one seed in the AFC.
And the one injury that we really haven't talked enough about is Trevion Henderson. Trevion Henderson, hopefully it's an injury that he's going to be back in January and it's not something that is anything that lingers or has like problems for the playoffs. But the dude disappeared. Like, first of all, it had been like an up and down game for him too. He had a couple of instances of negative yardage and you're like, oh, it's another game in which they can't get the running game going. But then it was like, okay, he's questionable to return and you didn't hear anything for like 10 minutes. You're like, where is he? Is he coming back? That's a guy who is in conversation for offensive rookie of the year.
Oh, he was the betting favorite as entering the games yesterday. I don't know how everything shifted and the injury shifts that, but he was the betting favorite going into those games.
That could have easily been a situation where, again, yes, they are down Lamar Jackson, but Buffalo wanted to play that game on the ground, and the guy who would make it go for you got taken out, like completely out.
With Henderson out of the game, but they basically didn't run in the second half, which is, it makes it funny that Stevenson had the 21-yard touchdown to put the Pats up with 2:07 left. Their last real run prior to that Stevenson touchdown, I was going through the game log this morning, I think I have this right, was a 2nd and 2 with Ramondre Stevenson midway through the third quarter, 8:36. The other pseudo run plays, like not design runs they had in there. May fell on top of his own fumble on the 1st and 10 later in the third. May also had a 2-yard scramble, not a design run, but a 2-yard scramble early in the fourth. And then if you want to count Marte Mapu trying to run for it on the fake punt, those are their other designed run plays. They basically didn't do it the entire fourth quarter. They didn't do it for half the third quarter. until Stevenson ripped off that 21-yarder to give him the lead. And so I think no Travion Henderson impacted that, and they decided to lean way in on putting the game on Drake May's shoulders, and he came through.
Did you last night think he had the 16-yard run at the end, but did you think it looked like Drake didn't want to scramble?
Well,
he's clearly this whole season been moving away from making plays, just extending plays with his legs. He still does it, but nowhere near the rate that he did it last year or with the success that he did it last year. It's something that I've just been looking towards as we get to the end of the season and look towards the playoffs, and they're trying to figure out how to complement the run game with the passing game. I thought maybe it was because everybody was dropping like flies last night. Like, he ran out of bounds real quick. He did not want any contact.
No, and he had one quick slide last night, too. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's been coached out of him. Maybe the Ravens did a better job closing or mixing things up on him. I mean, in general, that hasn't been a critique of mine, but maybe last night. Yeah.
I don't even know if it's a critique. It's just an observation of, I think it's something that they've coached really heavily. I asked Mike Vrabel about it last week, and he said that he doesn't have a remote control for Drake, so he can't tell him when to scramble and when not to. But it's clear that they want him to remain a passer. I just think now, watching last night, and again, some of it might have been how banged up everybody was in that game and that he was getting the crap beat out of him back there, took three sacks, that he like didn't look like he wanted to extend the play that way.
Here's Drake May after the game. Says he's proud of the team.
Yeah, so proud of this team, man. It took everybody. That's what we knew coming into it. You know, our goal this week is win together. And, man, it was together. It felt good getting that one. And I think just props to these guys. You know, keep fighting. We got guys going down, guys coming in, taking, you know, plays, more plays than probably I've ever had. And guys getting tired and pushing through. And defense stepping up, making big plays, forcing fumbles. And we talked about things all week, and we hit some of them. And obviously, yeah, there's some things that I'd like to have back. But, you know, right now it just feels good to get a win.
Okay, good to get a win. They needed to get the win after blowing it the week before against the Buffalo Bills. Pats were down, of course, 24-13 after Derrick Henry had the 2-yard touchdown run, 12:50 left in the game. That was Derrick Henry's final touch of the game. Buried him, forgot about him. John Harbaugh said it was a predetermined rotation that they had in the backfield, which I guess I get during the week, but then the Patriots can't stop Derrick Henry. You're trying to run out the clock on the following possession. Patriots get the Kyle Williams touchdown sandwich in between. Baltimore gets the ball back, and it's all Keaton Mitchell out there, which is wild. And on top of that, you've lost your quarterback. You would think whatever your game plan was during the week, when your quarterback goes down, you would pivot and you would shift away from that, and they didn't, which is wild.
It is bizarre. I wonder what the excuse is for, because just sticking to the pre-planned rotation makes no sense. It sounds stupid. And is he saying that? I wonder, you don't seem to feel this way. I wonder if he's saying that because he doesn't trust Derrick Henry after he fumbled early in the game. Now, he was out there a ton and he was very productive, but maybe just in that clutch time, he's like, well, maybe this is not the time to keep the ball in Henry's hands. We'll put it in Keaton Mitchell's hands because he's not going to fumble. Henry, we could get more explosive plays, but we're going to play it safe. Maybe it was a conservative path that they were taking, and that's the excuse he's putting out there now.
No, it could have been. I just think coaches don't like to get second-guessed, and so it's like, hey, what was going on? Why was Derrick Henry
Somebody
not out there?
Somebody should have second-guessed it on the bench. In the moment.
I mean, it was wild to watch it in real time.
Hey, John, there's somebody over here who probably should be on the field right now.
And I'm not talking about the drive. After the Stevenson touchdown, you're down 4, you got to throw it. That's probably not a drive for Derrick Henry. So that one I'm fine with. It's the drive before that when they're still winning, they're still up 3, you have to burn clock and they don't go to him. So my guess is, and I didn't hear it, but my guess is Harbaugh is just sensitive about getting second guessing. He's like, well, that was the plan all week, so we just stuck with our plan. You have a problem with that?
Yes.
Which I also would say,
a reporter
yes.
Should say, I think a lot of people have a problem with that.
Yes, I do too. But my guess is that's how it went down. But maybe it wasn't trusting in Henry, who fumbled earlier in the game. Sandwiched around that, the Pats went 7 plays, 73 yards, and 349 to get the Kyle Williams touchdown. Ramondre Stevenson converted on a 2-point conversion there. And then the drive to give the Patriots the lead after Baltimore punted. It was a Mark Andrews false start. Thought maybe Craig Woodson jumped offside. I think the refs got that right. The Ravens certainly thought that Craig Woodson jumped offside. Patriots get the punt. They go 9 plays, 89 yards, and just 255. Steph Diggs had a big conversion on a 4th down on that drive. That's also where there was no defensive pass interference called on Marlon Humphrey, where he dragged Kayshon Booty down to the ground. and you get the 21-yard Ramondre Stevenson touchdown. After that, you get the Ke'Lavon Chaisson forced fumble on Zay Flowers, and the Patriots are able to run out the clock. And it was just, outside of that first drive for Baltimore to start the fourth quarter, a perfect quarter for the Pats with both sides of the football marrying up.
Now that we've seen that, it's almost surprising that we haven't seen it more, because the more I think about it, like, the Ravens are not a team that are built to come back, right? They're not a team that's built to play from behind. The Patriots have been accused at times of being front runners this season because of how they explode in their offenses in the first half and then the second half cool off. But they're a team that is built to be able to come back like this.
Yeah.
That's why it's a huge step for Drake May, but it's surprising that we haven't seen it yet. I think in a lot of situations, they just haven't had to do it. And maybe that's where Buffalo was a wake-up call of, hey, like, you're going to face this, and then next time, when you see it the very next week, you have to treat those 5 minutes differently than you did the week before.
Well, I think that's real. I mean, we spent 20 years going, well, there's a belief in Brady because Brady's come through in this spot, and you know you're never out of a game. And then people want to, like, brush aside that Drake May's never done it. It's like, you got to pick one.
Right.
There's belief in the huddle that you can do it, or there isn't. And now that he's done it, I think you can continue to increase that belief, hopefully. But yeah, I think that's a significant thing to get that done, and for that team to know if they're in a playoff game and you're down 10, you're not out of it. You knew that with Brady. You know that with guys like Mahomes and guys like this, Josh Allen. I think it's important for Drake May himself and players in that huddle to know it with him as well. And maybe this is a step towards that. They don't care that it's against a 7-8 Ravens team without
No.
Lamar, who forgot about Derrick Henry and, like, self-benched Derrick Henry. They don't care about that. They care that he came through there. And I think that's important. 617-779-7937. We got more on Steph Diggs later on this hour. Drake May and a potential MVP moment last night. We'll get to that right after.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
For Trending with Billy Lanny.
Johnson, seventh-year veteran, former Raven, in the lineup. May taking a deep shot. Downfield, towards Williams. He brought it in. That's a touchdown. That is Kyle Williams, his third of the year. Tremendous over-the-shoulder catch. On in Baltimore.
touchdown throw to Kyle Williams last night, which, giving credit to Kyle Williams, because I heard a lot of this after he had his touchdown against Tampa, I didn't do anything on the play. And maybe that's true. I mean, that was a brilliant throw by May. This is another great throw by May. But he has to stay in bounds, reel it in amongst a couple of defenders. I'm not telling you you can put Kyle Williams in a category where you know what you're going to get in the postseason and you could expect him to come through in a big spot. I'm not telling you any of that. That was just a like a found money kind of touchdown. He had another catch earlier on that drive as well, so he was involved on that drive. And it was a huge, huge play to get the Patriots back into it. I asked you this earlier, Mego. Do you think last night was Drake May's MVP moment? Not that it was a signature play. I guess the Kyle Williams one would probably be most representative of that. But the comeback, the national stage, do you think that was Drake May's MVP moment?
I don't think it was as a game. He hurt his team too much in the first half. And with the turnovers, leaving some 6 points conservatively on the board, if they were going to be in field goal range as they were and kick those field goals, I just think as a body of work, it wasn't the right one. It was really important in terms of his individual development. And if you're building an argument for Drake being legit and being spoken of in the same tier as Josh Allen and as Matthew Stafford, that kind of comeback win and the 139 passing yards that he has in that quarter, like, that is what you point to and say, like, yeah, he's not perfect, but he's really gutsy and he's super confident. So he's going to keep you in it. And he's obviously got the talent to keep you in it. But if you're saying, like, most valuable player, I still think Stafford's got the edge overall.
Yeah. And look, it matters what happens as the year goes along. Like, right now, Stafford is minus money for MVP. When I looked earlier, I think May was plus 170, something like that. Stafford was around minus 180, 190. I'll double check here in a moment. But I didn't put a lot of stock in this until we started talking about it over the last couple of weeks. There are very few guys who didn't win their division who go on to win MVP. And Stafford and the Rams have a chance to lose that, whereas I think it's going to be very difficult for the Patriots not to win the division as long as they take care of business against the Jets and Brady Cook and the Dolphins and Quinn Ewers.
Oh, boy.
I think, and I was doing quick research on this, I think the last guy not to win his division to win MVP was Peyton Manning, I think, in 08.
Oh, my God.
Something like that. We were going through it quickly last week. So if Stafford falls off at all, and now he's a wild card, I don't know why that matters so much. It wouldn't matter to me. Like, the Rams are going to win 12 or 13 games. I don't really care if they're a wild card team or not. It's not like you're winning your division at 9-8 and you barely sneak in. The Rams have been a dominant team all year. That wouldn't matter to me, but it might to voters. That might be the one way he can get back in there and still get
it.
Yeah,
I wonder how predictive that is. Like, that seems like it would be indicative of just teams that have really strong quarterback play tend to dominate their divisions, right? And tend to roll over. And especially when you have some repeat MVPs like Lamar, like Mahomes, like, I bet that plays into a little bit where the same guys have been dominating for the last decade or so. But going back to 2008, that is a really long time.
It was something like that. I'd have to double check exactly when it was, but it was Peyton Manning was the last one to do it. And by the way, Stafford on FanDuel minus 195 for MVP. Drake's at plus 170. I'm surprised Josh Allen's at plus 2,500. Allen was starting to close the gap last week. The Bills did not look good yesterday.
Yeah, that's just based on yesterday.
They barely held off the Cleveland Browns, and it's not like Allen played great in that game. James Cook was kind of carrying the offense, so maybe that's part of it. But right now it seems like a two-horse race, and May is in second, but that doesn't mean he can't get
it. Did you think it was the body of work, like that game, to say that's an MVP game?
I mean, he had some turnovers early. I do feel like
bad turnover shows. I mean, the interception wasn't even as bad as the fumble.
No, the fumble was worse. And you're right. When you say conservatively you're taking 6 points off the board, it might have been more. I would just put more weight on the fourth quarter. I think all that outweighs it. But, you know, Matt Stafford and the stats have been just dominant, like, overwhelming. Like, if you put the two of their numbers up against each other, passing yards and touchdowns and things like this, they're really not close. May's been more accurate. You know, May's had a lot of good quarterback rating games and high quarterback rating this year. But when you line up yards and touchdowns and things like that, it's not close. But then you can say Stafford has way more going for him with Puka and, before he got hurt, Devontae Adams, never mind the play calling and Sean McVay. So, I think all of that's fair. I wouldn't bet on Drake May winning right now. It seems like the betting markets have consolidated behind Matt Stafford. But no, I think that was a big win for him last night to stay in the mix. And if Stafford has another game where he stubs his toe or the Rams don't win the division, I think that's how May would get the MVP.
To me, it's also just going to be a narrative thing. Hey, Drake is new. They've given this award to young quarterbacks recently, but he's going to be around for a little bit. Matthew Stafford, it was like questionable in terms of his injury going into the season, has had this kind of magical season for the most part for himself. He'll probably retire soon. He wasted away in Detroit for so long. Let's give him another MVP so that it's undeniable how great of a quarterback he's really been all along.
I think that's probably, I mean, narratives with these are pretty significant, and the narrative favors Stafford for sure. Here's Drake May, by the way, and you heard this a couple of times on the broadcast. You could hear MVP chants coming through pretty clear at Baltimore for Drake May. Here's his reaction to those chants.
Yeah, it felt like, I credit to the Baltimore for, a great home environment, but, felt like, a lot of Pats fans were in the stadium. Props to us, we travel great. I say that time and time again, we travel great, and, we're giving them something to travel for, and that's what we try to do, and they're huge for us, and I'm sitting on the sideline when the defense is up, and, we make a play, and we hear loud cheers, and you're not sure if it's offense or defense, so it's New England Patriots. It's New England area. It's the Boston sports. So I don't expect anything less from our fans, and they show out every week.
Okay. A lot of fans behind Drake May for the MVP last night. I mean, it was a monstrous, monstrous fourth quarter and execution when he had to come through in a big spot. I do think that helps big picture for how far this team can go. Again, that belief, we were talking about that earlier, you either have it or you don't. In your quarterback, the Pats had it for two decades with Brady. We'll see if they can get anywhere approaching that with Drake May, but I do think a win like last night has me wondering how far they can go again. Whereas when they were down 11 and Derrick Henry was running wild and it felt like they were going to just die on the vine and lose two in a row in these back-to-back games that everybody had highlighted for a long period of time, I was starting to wonder about that. Now I'm back to, well, they have a good chance at the one seed. If they get that, they really could go on a deep run. The road goes through Foxborough. And even if not, I have myself believing and talking back into how far they can go. How far do you think this team can take it?
I still say AFC Championship. Like that's kind of where I've been for the last couple weeks. My confidence wavered a little bit with that second half against Buffalo, but I think this fourth quarter makes up for it. And what was most important to me about the fourth quarter is that it's stuff that is replicable. In past wins that you've had where it was in the clutch, like with Miami earlier this year, it was an Antonio Gibson run for a touchdown, which is great. But it felt fluky. Like, this didn't feel as fluky. Yeah, you get one with a play by Kalavon Chasen, with the strip fumble of Zay Flowers. Like, that definitely helps you. But that's a great play by Kalavon Chasen. Like, it's not like it's just like, oh, something happened to bounce your way. So I maintain AFC Championship. Once you're there, I kind of think it's like anything can happen. The AFC is so wide open, though. I think you can realistically get to that point.
What is and look, our expectations change all the time. My offseason goal for this team was get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd win 9 games and sneak in. So they're already way past that, right? But now it's time to adjust the expectations upwards. What do they have to do to make it a successful year? Is it get to that AFC title game? What is that line to make it a successful year?
For me personally, I'd say AFC title game. And it's because I kind of put them up against my beloved and mightily fallen Commanders. And good Commanders.
They got to match what they did a year ago.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, yeah, I mean, fair. Look, like that the Commanders were able to rip that off. The NFC, in my opinion, is much stronger than the AFC this year. I think they had to be opportunistic and prove that they can get through a road, especially if the road goes through Foxborough, then definitely.
Yeah, so I
although they are, I mean, they're road warriors. That's what they call themselves. They're unbeaten on the road, more beaten at Gillette, but it still gives you an advantage.
So I guess I'd say it a little differently. If they're the one seed, then we're in the same spot. You got to win a game in the playoffs now to make it a successful run. You have to. And again, oh, well, what if I told you in July they'd win?
Shut up. That was July.
They'd win 14 games and they'd lose at home on the divisional round. Would you have taken it? Like, of course we all would have taken it. But now they might be the one seed. I'm not going to be okay if they lose their first playoff game at home in the divisional round of the Texans or something like that. I'm not saying I can't see that happening, but I wouldn't be okay with that. That would be disappointing. That would be a bad loss. It doesn't make the year a failure. But to make this now a success, they at least have to win a playoff game. And I agree with you. You know, yesterday wasn't just about things not going their way or getting a lucky bounce, rather. It was actually the opposite. They were able to overcome a bad call going against them or a non-call against them.
They took control of the game. Like they did, sorry to cut you off there a little bit, but they absolutely just took over the game. And that's something where you see them do that early in games this season. You see them fade or cool off late, and they kind of let, okay, we're going to make one big play at the end, or our defense is going to have a stop at the end to make sure that these stupid frisky teams like the Jets with Justin Fields or the Bengals without Joe Burrow, they hang around a little bit in the fourth quarter, but they're not actually really going to do anything. And so to see them do that against, yeah, it's not a great Ravens team, but a Ravens team with some really legit pieces on it, I think that says something.
Well, and again, they dominated the fourth quarter, and then they had a bang-bang call go against them, and I think bad teams tucked their tail there, and bad teams just quit. And the Patriots didn't do that. They marched right down the field and got in the end zone and took the lead and took control of the game. And I think that is a telling thing about a team that's going places. But you got to win a playoff game. If you're playing on wild card weekend, win your game at home. If you're the one seed, win your game at home on divisional weekend, and then I'll look at it and say that feels like a pretty successful year. Based on how they played all year long. 617-779-7937. More of your feedback coming up. We'll get to Steph Diggs and his impact. Primetime Steph feels like a real thing. That's next.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Ain't no long talk today. All it is f***ing winning. Everybody do their job. We're going to come out this bitch with a victory, all right? Gang on 3-1-2-3.
That was primetime Steph Diggs firing up the troops before the game, as he tends to do. Not much of a message there, as he said, leading into it, a quicker message out of Steph Diggs. But he goes out and backs it up in that game last night. Another big performance for him on primetime. He did it against Buffalo in week 5. He did it against the Jets a few weeks ago. He did not against the Giants. And then he comes through with that big-time performance last night. I think the one thing you could tell with these games, Mego, is when he has it, it's early. Like, you see it early. You saw it immediately in the Buffalo game where he looked shot out of a cannon. You saw it last night. I think he only had the one catch in the first quarter. but it was the 20-yarder where he skied up and got it and got hit pretty hard and went to the ground and got checked out after that.
Snuck out of that tent.
He sure did. So when you see it with Diggs, you see it early. And I don't know. I expect him to come through. Like, in a big spot for them this year. I know he's had some games where he was quiet. I know there was some talk about him forgetting the offense just randomly out of nowhere last week.
How does that work, though?
I don't know. I never understood it. I think it was scapegoating, to be honest. But, you know, I expect him, and I expect that receiver room, honestly. We were talking about Kyle Williams earlier. Mac Hollins, to me, has been a guy you can count on week after week. Booty has been a little different since he's come back from the injury. There's plays here. There aren't plays elsewhere. Questionable OPI on him, and then a horrible non-call, which wasn't called against him last night. But I feel pretty good about the receiver room this year, and specifically about Diggs coming through in a big spot. Pop Douglas
is also there.
He's there. He was. Yeah. He got hurt last night and left. But he's made. Look, he's had fourth down conversions and stuff this year. He had the horrible play against Pittsburgh.
He had a 100-yard game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he's got that.
I feel like they have enough in the receiver room. And again, I would bet on Diggs in a big spot for this team in the playoffs. Or, for instance, last night when you got to have it, 4th and 2, he's the guy who came through.
I found the account I was talking about earlier on Twitter/X. SM Highlights that had the video of Diggs pacing up and down the bench.
Oh, when they were making it sound like he was being a bad teammate. Yeah.
Well, first of all, SM Highlights, shout out, the number one source for Shedeur Sanders coverage.
Oh, good.
Is what it is. And it has a blue check mark.
Did they have the Shedeur thong video? Is that them? Were they the one who had that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. They misspelled Stephon Diggs, unfortunately, in this clip. But yeah, they were, this account had a whole bunch of interaction because it had Stephon Diggs pacing up and down the bench and looks like he's like yelling to Drake May and gesturing, and people, I guess this was posted in the moment, and people are going, oh my God, Diggs is going off on the sidelines. Oh, everything's falling apart for the Patriots. The feel good story is over. But no, that was him. Like, the broadcast cameras caught him lifting his chin up, gesturing to like the other guys, like, come on, chin up, guys. Yeah. Because they were down 11 freaking points and everybody was like hanging their heads a little bit for a brief moment. Moment no, there when Derrick Henry is slicing through you like a knife in hot butter.
I saw that live. I didn't even know what you were talking about with this account because I didn't see the specific
SM
tweet.
Highlights, your number one source for Shedeur Sanders coverage.
And Steph Diggs coverage, apparently.
Well, it says also NFL/NBA clips.
Oh, nice.
But the Shedeur Sanders is, I think, what people really go
for.
Yeah,
it's kind of a one-stop shop for everything. And so, no, I know the exact clip you're talking about. They showed it on the broadcast, as you just said last night. I didn't think it was anything. No, Diggs has been a model teammate and a way, way, way better leader. We played you the clip earlier. Vrabel had him break down the team back in his home state, not his hometown, in his home state
different
last
county.
Night. And different county. And no, I think he's been way better in that regard than I expected. Now, would I bank on that happening next year and the year after that if he's back and I expect him to be back? I don't know. He's worn out his welcome elsewhere. But we're already further into his tenure without really any problems outside of whatever happened on the party boat, really any other hiccups or anything like that. There haven't been any. And if you told me that before the year, I'd probably be more surprised at that than the Patriots sitting here at 12-3. If you told me they were 12-3, I'd probably believe that more than Steph Diggs would be a leader and a model teammate. If you told me the future, I would believe the 12 wins way more than Diggs buying in, but he absolutely has.
So he's at 869 receiving yards for the season. I think at the beginning of the year, like around training camp, I said if he had 800 yards, it would be successful for him. Because if you remember back then, talk about expectations, we didn't even know if he was going to be healthy to start the year. We didn't know if he was going to start the year on IR. Now, he looked really great when he showed up in training camp, but it was still questionable about, like, hey, this is a very fast turnaround and his age, are they going to be conservative with him? But overall, it's been a tremendous success story for him. I know after the Buffalo game, there was a little bit of chatter about, hey, December Diggs. Hey, Diggs, he does sometimes fade in December.
Yep.
And that a lot of the production he had was against the Patriots back when he was with Buffalo. So as much as that was a great fourth quarter for Drake, Steph was the constant through all the game. I think it's a great call that, like, when he's there, he's going to be there early. He's not necessarily going to be somebody who all of a sudden just explodes in the fourth quarter.
No, and he has done that too. You know, like, I'm trying to think of some of the games. He had the big, what was it? The big onside recovery. Was that the Tampa game?
Yeah.
When did he have that? Was that the Tampa game? I'm trying to remember what it was. He's had other big conversions late in games.
It wasn't Atlanta, was it? Maybe. That was a tight game.
I think that's right. I think it was Atlanta. Okay. I think you have that right. There was another game where it was a big conversion late. Like, they're constantly looking to him. So they're, even when he has these quieter games, and certainly the Buffalo one, this past one, was not a good example of it. But even when he has these quieter games, you can highlight him coming through in big spots. But they're going to need more than that. It's not just a play here or there. You need, on this team, he's the number one. Maybe next year's team he won't be. Maybe next year they'll go out and get a bigger receiver and he can maybe be a complement to that number one receiver. I don't know how much he'd buy in on that, but whatever. But right now he's this team's number one. And I expect him again to come through more often than not. And last night was a good sign of that because you started to hear, well, does he know the offense? And is he going to stay bought in? And is he old? And is he December Diggs and all this stuff? And he shut everybody up,
well,
which is good.
He also saved May's booty one time because the one reception that he didn't have on a target
back.
Was he smacked that ball down that was about to be intercepted.
So there were a few passes like that where May could have had more picks than he did. He only had the one last night. There were a few others, and you're right. Diggs bailed him out. By the way, another example of Diggs and his leadership. I think you've seen this consistently. Sunday Night Football, he's back in his home state. He gets asked about, well, you'll hear the question here, you know, these performances and what goes into it, and he deferred to his teammates, which I thought was nice.
We saw your play on the field. We saw your leadership on the sideline. How determined were you to will this team to win?
Well, it's really not me at all. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a beacon or like a vessel on this team, and the guys get behind me. You know, I talk a lot of junk. I say a lot on the sidelines, but I'm just happy to be around these group of guys, being able with a young quarterback that's MVP talent, MVP guy. It's just a blessing to be out here. I'm thankful to be out here, be healthy, and just be around the boys for real, friend. Get a win on the road. Road Warriors.
Road Warriors.
Okay.
So one thing I thought you could tell by that clip, too, if you saw it last night on NBC, is Diggs kind of looked at May when he said MVP guy, MVP talent, MVP guy, or whatever it is he said. And he kind of looked at him, and May kind of like shook his head and like looked down at the ground. And you can like tell, at least it seemed, if I was going to infer, that Diggs has been kind of pumping that into him. Like, hey, you're an MVP. You're that kind of guy. And May looked like a little sheepish about it. And it felt like there was something there between the two of them. I think Diggs firing up the guys on the sideline, firing them up before the game, breaking them down after the game, deferring to his teammate. Like I said earlier, I never would have seen any of that coming. And I buy in that he's going to be a big player in some of these games down the stretch, meaning playoff games.
He's obviously, like, his cliche, but, like, alpha guy. I do think the position that he's been in the league, he and Mac Hollins are both veterans, but Mac Hollins is a different kind of veteran. He's more of a journeyman. Whatever journeyman Stephon Diggs is, it's because, like, that him being a journeyman leads SportsCenter.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's, like, the rest of the team knows that, at least in terms of celebrity and stats and accomplishments, he is one guy in that locker room who is a part. Like, he is a part in a special way. But I do think that because he likes Vrabel a lot and the team's having a success and he likes the locker room a lot, like, he gets guys to buy in because they see him buy in. They see him saying things like, I'm a vessel, I'm a beacon, and I want to just, like, work with the team and whatever. And they're like, okay, like, this sounds kind of nuts. I'm not saying that he's Michael Jordan, but
when you read
the books about Jordan in the Bulls, not the Jordan rules, but the other Bulls stuff, like, his teammates would follow what he did in contract negotiations because he's Jordan. He's the biggest star in the world. And so if he's going to be humbling a little bit, the rest of the team does that. I think there's a level of that much, much slower, but there's a level of that with Diggs, where even you have somebody, like, if he wasn't in that locker room, Drake May is the biggest star in that locker room, like, bar none. But you still go to some other people around the league, and they might say, like, Stephon Diggs is the biggest celebrity in that locker room, if that makes sense.
I talk a lot of I say a lot of Masala.
He does. He does indeed. But no, I think that's probably fair. Like, in terms of the coverage he got, I mean, you would know this, Mego, from when Cardi B came to his workout. Like, the attention that they get as
a
couple.
God.
And he gets in that world. I mean,
let me just say, like, okay, in my time in media, uh-huh, I have gotten to see a lot of celebrities in person.
Oh.
Sick brag, bro.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you. I mean, I'm sitting across from one right now, Adam Jones.
This is true.
Sometimes you see people on TV and in movies and music videos. She looks amazing in person. Like, she looks perfect. Oh. She looks like a perfect doll. Like, I just couldn't stop staring at her. I was like, look at her face.
I wasn't really doubting it, but I'll take your word for it.
Sometimes you don't know. You know, sometimes you see famous people in real, and you're like, whoa. Like, there's been a lot of crazy work done there.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it even comes across on TV, and you're like, ooh, put down the knife, honey.
She's all natural.
Put down the syringes. No, I don't think that. I think she's talked at length of that. Whatever she's doing, it's great.
Okay.
She looks fabulous.
All right. Nice. Well, there you go. No, I think your point about Diggs, though, is a good one. He might be the biggest star on the team, which takes some of that off of Drake May. 617-779-7937. We get to some second guesses. That would include the stupid fake punt. That would include Christian Gonzalez and his night, which left some something to be desired there on how he guarded Zay Flowers. I'd say that probably about his entire season. We'll do all that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.